Hi, everyone. Just wanted to let you know that Jim and Steve Watch a Show are now on social media. Please follow them on Instagram and Facebook at Jim and Steve Watch a Show. There, you can find out what TV show they will be watching next to enhance your listening experience. Also, feel free to give them suggestions for shows to watch or even a nerd challenge idea. Thanks for listening.
I have been enjoying that movie quite a bit.
Because he's like fun.
He is. He adopted like this kid whose mom was like a junkie. And you know immediately, this kid's dead.
Oh, okay. There's your plot device.
Right? I'm like, at some point, I saw him immediately because he's talking about how he rescued. I'm like, this kid's dead. Like, there's no way out of that.
Yeah, you cannot leave the house. You can leave the house. Either way, you're going down.
He's gone. So, yeah, I've been really enjoying some Chuck Norris.
Jim and Steve, watch a show. Jim and Steve, watch a show you've never seen.
Welcome, everybody, to Jim and Steve, Watch a Show, Season 3, Episode 6. And in this episode, we're going to take a look at Bang Bang Baby. My name is Jim.
And my name is Steve.
Steve, would you like to tell everybody what our podcast is all about?
Every week we go to the streaming services. We try to find a show that either you have never heard of or you look over for one reason or another. We watch the first episode, we review it, and then we tell you whether or not we would watch the entire first season.
And once again, we're looking at Bang Bang Baby this week. We'd like to start off with a little basic background information about the show. So, Steve, what did you find out?
Bang Bang Baby is on Amazon Prime. It is an Italian, I guess I'd classify it as maybe like a drama, but some action. One season, 10 episodes, 56 minutes for each episode. There are rumors of a second season, but I could not find anything concrete. And it was released all at one time on April 28th of 2022.
Were there any indications that it, the story arc resolved in the eight episodes?
I tried to find that too, and I'm not clear if it's just all in a bottle or if they leave you on a cliffhanger. I'm not sure. I was hoping to at least find that much out, and I couldn't find it.
That matters so much.
It really does.
We've come to find out that matters so much. Okay, great. Great background information about the show. So now we are up to the summary challenge. In the summary challenge, we like to recap the first episode in about a minute or less, hit the high points of the plot and so on. And Steve, I think you're up on this one first, right?
I am.
All right.
I will give it my best shot.
Okay.
So in Bang Bang Baby, it takes place in Italy. Present day is 1986. The main character is Alice Baroni, who I'm guessing is probably about 17 years old. She's in high school. There are flashbacks to 1977, which would make her, you know, nine-ish years old. She's at a carnival with her parents, and while she's on a ride with her mom, her dad gets shot and killed. So then this has been a huge thing in her life. She then finds out, and not spoiling too much, but she finds out that her dad's not actually dead. So she goes on this mission to meet him and find out what happened and why all this was being hidden from her. And she ultimately finds out that her dad's in the mob. And not just like a low-level enforcer in the mob, he seems like he's pretty dang important in the mob. And she finds out that her mom knew that her dad was alive and hid it from her to try to protect her from that part of life. Other than that, not a whole lot gets resolved. This is mostly a setup episode. At the end of it, there's a little bit of conflict where she's pushing back against her mom. She's also not happy with her dad. And it's just setting up for kind of a, I think, more action in the second episode.
That was really good.
Tricky.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to add much to that. I'll give it a shot. So here we go. We open with a scene where a young girl is getting initiated into some kind of organization. There's like there's a flashback, and then we follow that girl who is our main character. She's a high school student, as you said, seems troubled. lives with her mom. We learn that her dad was killed when she was young. However, she sees a picture of her dad being arrested in a current newspaper when she's at school. So she goes and visits her grandmother and her dad's family, finds out her dad is in fact alive and in jail. Grandma brings the girl to jail and she talks to her dad. Turns out he is involved in some criminal activity. Mom tried to protect her from him by saying that he was killed. And yeah, maybe not to give too much away, but I just added at the end, dad asks the daughter to do him a favor.
Quite the favor.
Yeah. So we'll kind of leave it at that.
Well, and you know, you brought up a good point about the newspaper clipping. I had forgot to mention that, and it's super important to the story.
That's why we like to do the
sandwich. The back and forth. That's right.
Between the two of us, you should have a good idea of what happened in that first episode. So good summary challenge. So now we are on to points of interest clarification one might need in order to better understand the show or maybe enjoy the show. So Steve, what did you have here?
So one point of interest, if these kinds of stories, if you like them, it turns out that this is actually based on a true story. Okay. How closely it actually follows it, I don't know. But there is a woman named Marissa Marico who was raised in England, but she finds out as an adult that her dad is actually the head of a mob family in Italy.
Oh.
And so that's the true story. I don't know if all this other stuff actually happened to her, but if you like those kinds of stories, that could be cool.
Sure.
Outside of that, if you've ever seen any mob type movie, I think you pretty much kind of know the formula.
Sure. Yeah. I had no idea it was based on a true story. Usually they kind of
advertise that, right?
Yeah, they do. I didn't see anything like that, or maybe I missed it. So that's kind of interesting. Like you, I said that, I guess to understand this, either you have to be familiar with the genre, and, you know, if you're kind of really into this, there seems like there's a lot of rules and structures within the organization that might be a little bit hard to follow at first. Like when Grandma is talking about some of the different roles and stuff, you're kind of like,
right.
That was a little hard for me to follow. So maybe some info on that. And then as far as what to expect, like you said, this kind of falls under, I don't know what else to call it, but like the unlikely assassin genre to me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. At least it seems like it's going that way, where you take somebody who seems like they wouldn't make a very good assassin, and then they're the assassin.
Just kind of slide them in. Yeah.
With a twist. And those can be
fish out of water.
Yeah, exactly. So it could be a lot of fun, but it seems like this kind of ticks that box here. So, so on to positives and strengths of the show. What did you like about this show?
So I liked their pick for the lead role. Like, I don't know how old she is in real life, but you believe that she's a high school student. You kind of believe that the trauma that she's going through. I thought it was very well acted. Really, I think everybody probably did a good job. So I did enjoy that.
Yeah, totally. I agree with that. I think it was also shot well.
Yes.
It looked very cinematic to me in the way that, you know, newer series sometimes kind of emulate kind of a movie feel. But
yeah, there's good production values in this.
Yeah, I would say that very easily, you know, if you cut this right, you could be like, oh, I'm watching a movie, which was kind of cool.
Yep, absolutely.
I think that does the genre, I mean, it does it well. I mean, it kind of knows what it is, and I think it does it well. And I found it to be pretty suspenseful and kind of entertaining as you kind of go through the twist of the episodes.
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, weaknesses or drawbacks, were there things about this you did not care for?
Only two, actually. And the first one is this was so dark. Like, there were points that I had to kind of rewind by 10 or 15 seconds and watch it a couple of times to really understand what was going on. And there's movies that are like this, too, where it's like we understand that it's nighttime, or we understand that it's a dark room. You don't have to actually make get pitch black so you can barely see what's going on. Okay. Other than that, and this is more of a kind of a personal pet peeve of mine, is I don't like whenever shows skip around too much. Yeah. Like going from 1986 to 1977. And like, I kind of like stories told in order, and there was a bit of bouncing around in this one.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of similar when we did, we just talked about this in the Silent Sea, right?
Yes.
With the flashbacks. So it does use flashbacks as a storytelling device. It does jump around a lot. I think as the main character is trying to put things together, and that could be a little frenetic for sure. So I had, you know, once you get past that whole like unlikely, you know, main character lead in a, you know, kind of fish out of water thing, I wonder about then the longevity of the idea after that novelty wears off. And I, of course, I don't know because I haven't seen all eight episodes, but part of me is like, okay, so the novelty is this high school student has become part of organized crime, probably going to be, you know, murdering people or doing things that, you know,
she would not otherwise do.
Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, that kind of is what draws you in. Whether or not it's going to have more substance than that, hard to say after the first one. But I guess that would be my only like reticence going into the series.
Well, and to that point, it would be very unlikely in episode two if she says, you know what, this mob thing is not for me. I'm going to go back to my high school life. Like, that's not a very good story. So either she's going to embrace it wholeheartedly, or the deeper she gets into it, the more she realizes this was a mistake.
Yeah.
But she can't get out of it.
That, because that seems to be often the plot that device that they use, right?
And so it very much depends on how strong the writing is on how much mileage you get out of the concept.
Although now that you say it, it would be very entertaining, as intense as this first episode was, and how, you know, she really does seem like she's going down this rabbit hole, if all of a sudden she said, no, I'm going back to shop class.
I met my dad. He's in jail. I think I'm just going to go back and be a little girl again.
Yeah. And, and then maybe every once in a while, the two worlds sort of intersect. Like
brush.
Yeah. That would be an interesting take on it. I doubt that's what's going to happen, but yeah, that's kind of
call it bang, bang, maybe.
Yes. It writes itself.
Yeah, it sure does.
Well done. Okay. So on to, would we watch the entire season, the whole season, which is today, eight episodes.
And I feel like this is my answer every week now, but if I watch episode two, and it hasn't grabbed me, then I would say probably no. Because I felt like this was 56 minutes, and it felt like 56 minutes. This didn't fly by for me. There was a lot of dialogue, a lot of, I would say nothing happening, but just a lot of dialogue. And so if there's not something more exciting or more grabbing in the second episode, that would probably be it for me.
There's a lot of setup here, as you said. So what's the payoff, I guess, is what you're asking, right?
Yeah, because if there's not a payoff to episode five, I'm gone. You know, I need at least something substantial.
It's like Takeshi's Castle, where we talk and talk about cars battling.
Yeah, the whole first episode, this is going to be awesome, and then nothing ever happens.
All right, so.
Or Santosha Battle Wheels.
Oh, wait, that's what I meant.
Yeah, Santosha Battle Wheels. Yeah.
Yeah. No, Takeshi's Castle had action right
out. Oh, yeah, that had stuff.
Santosha Battle Wheels. That was the one that was the issue.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe we need to change the name of the show to Jim and Steve Watch Two Episodes of a Show.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe next season we'll watch the first two episodes of every show.
Because I keep writing down things like, yes, but. I would watch this, but because maybe the pattern and maybe what we're learning here is like so often that first episode is just, it's just set dressing. It's like, here's, we're setting up plot points. It doesn't really deliver anything necessarily. It's supposed to hook you. So it's like, all right, kind of interested.
Yeah.
Makes or breaks.
That might be a good idea. 'Cause I almost look at all of these like you're watching a Marvel superhero movie. And the first portion of every one of those is here's how this person became this superhero. And so if you kind of think about this being one long story over 10 episodes, it would make sense that you're only getting 10% of the story here.
Right.
So maybe two episodes would make more sense because now you're getting 20% of the whole story.
We just doubled our workload for the week.
Ooh, I know. Lots of homework.
Well, I'm going to pick a Korean show that's 70 minutes.
You'll have at least 20 tales.
All right. Well, then another qualified yes, but we'd wait to see what the second one is. So how does this rank compared to the other shows that we have reviewed this season? And to remind our listeners, thus far, we have watched Alice in Borderland, Ambassadors, 3%, Ultraman Orb, The Origin Saga, The Silent Sea, and today, Bang Bang Baby.
I think I'm going to put this at number 4.
Okay.
I would put it in front of 3% and Ambassadors, and just kind of slotted in behind Silent Sea.
Yeah, what a coincidence.
Well, we're going to have to make some stuff up, and we have no conflict on these lists so far.
I know. My list so far goes, I think you and I maybe swapped the first one. I got Alice in Borderland, Ultraman, Silent Sea, Bang Bang Baby, Ambassadors, and 3%. So we were very close.
Yes, I think maybe I have 3% in front of Ambassadors, and I think that's really the only difference at this point.
Weird.
Because I had put Alice in Borderland and Ultraman as a tie for one, and I'm still not sure which way I'm going to go. But other than that, I think our lists are the same.
I don't think that's happened yet.
No. And this is – we're halfway done here. That's crazy.
That is weird. Okay. Well, it might be very easy to find a number one spot then.
Yeah, right?
Excited about that. Okay. So now on to this day in nerd history. I'm eager to hear what happened.
So I bring this one up because it's almost like a weird, I don't know if I call it butterfly effect, but kind of unintended consequences. Do you know who Laura Ingalls Wilder is? Wilder.
Man, that name sounds familiar. Sounds like I should.
So born February 7th of 1867, died February 10th of 1957.
Okay.
She is the person who wrote Little House on the Prairie.
Oh.
Whenever she was a teen, there was a newspaper that asked people to send in an article talking about their life. And she did that, and they liked it so much, they hired her as like a permanent employee. She went on to write 8 books from 1932 to 1943 about her life on the plains during the 1800s.
Wow.
That turned into Little House on the Prairie, which was 9 seasons. Then there were 3 movies that I actually wasn't aware of.
Oh, yeah. So
they were making new stuff until 1984. And it's so funny, like even today, it's on TV.
Yeah, it is.
You can still find Little House on the Prairie. And I brought it up because I'm like, not a lot of people, I'm guessing, in our wheelhouse probably watch a lot of Little House on the Prairie. But you had actors and actresses that never really would have had their careers take off, but for that show, relying on this little girl in the prairie in the 1800s, that had she not written this little article to the newspaper, it would never have existed. And so it's just really interesting. Like Michael Landon had been in Bonanza, but wasn't really a huge role for him.
That's right. Yeah. Okay.
But then he landed this and he was basically the main character that turned into Highway to Heaven.
I was going to say Highway to Heaven. Yeah, I remember that
one. And so it really catapulted his career. And there's other people that had kind of a similar trajectory because of the show.
Right.
And so I just find it very interesting whenever something happens so long ago.
Yeah.
And it could have amounted to nothing. Mm-hmm. But 100 years later, it's still relevant.
Yeah. I mean,
actually 150 years later, after she lived this, you're still seeing it on television.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right. It kind of falls under that butterfly effect, and you never quite know if you decide to share your experience, if your idea with somebody, how that would affect somebody else, right? You know, in small ways, but, or in really large ways, like you're talking now, where a whole show and franchise was developed out of your childhood memories. And that'd be really cool if that was.
Well, and so you think, right, there's some eighth grader somewhere and the teacher's like, I want you to write an essay about X.
Yeah.
And 150 years from now, they could have caused multiple people to have careers, or they could still be on TV, or it's just so interesting. You never know what consequences some of your actions are going to have, good or bad.
Yeah. And this might be on my brain a little bit, but you know, I recently read that book about the guys who created Airplane.
Mm-hmm.
And you think they're three guys from the Midwest who moved to LA, started a little theater troupe back home, but then they moved it to LA and they cast all of these guys who played really tough guys in TV shows like Leslie Nielsen and Robert Stack, and then completely reinvigorated their career. Right.
Right.
And like, you wouldn't have Leslie Nielsen and the Naked Gun without these guys. Right. And drawing those threads, like you're saying, I mean, those connections are really neat when you think about them.
They're just so interesting. Like, even if you don't care about whatever the thing is, it's just amazing to just see how far it went.
Yeah. That's a fun thing to do, to go back. So like you're saying, like trace a series back like that and see who influenced it. Or if you're into music, you know, sometimes they'll talk about the people that they listened to. And, you know, it's amazing that, you know, some kid listening to a record when he was 8 years old turned that into some popular band, you know? I mean,
right.
the way people influence each other through art and writing and life experience, I mean, that's really, really cool.
Yeah, and you never know, even at our age, when you might see or read or watch something, and it just changes the trajectory of your life. It just changes everything.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. Well, I'm sure you had a moment like that where you've read a book or watched a TV show and it just like clicked and you're like, I mean, this really, it really influenced you for something like Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, yeah, right?
Exactly. there was a hole in my heart that was shaped like Garth Marenghi and I didn't even know it was there until it was filled.
Yeah. And you know, the people who created that show, I mean, how would they know whether or not that's going to, you know, really reach somebody? And I mean, I think that's the fun part about putting just creative work out there and seeing what happens, you know?
Absolutely. I agree.
You know, a lot of times you're doing it because you like to do it, but if it can influence somebody or make somebody's life better or something like that, or I don't know, make somebody's
career. Just make somebody laugh whenever they're having a bad day, right? Like it's just little things that can have huge outcomes.
Now, oddly, I don't think I really watched Little House on the Prairie I think I might have been a little bit too young. I remember my sister watching it. She's a little older than I am.
Yeah, it was 70s into early 80s. And actually, I think the last movie was 1984. So I guess maybe even back that up a little bit further. It's one of those things that I know that I've watched different episodes of it, but I could probably not tell you the plot of the whole thing other than just knowing the gist.
Well, I remember very distinctly in the opening scene, lots of running through fields.
Downhill.
Yes. I mean, that's like when I think about that, that's often what's burned in my brain. I know that I've seen that opening of the show many times, but I couldn't tell you like the a plot line or a lot of the characters.
Old timey farm life.
Yeah. You know, I was much more into robots and large monsters.
Now, if they had done a crossover, you know, if Man at Arms had shown up at the farm.
or Ultraman, I don't know.
Panthro. Got a coyote problem? I'll come help you.
Now, I'd watch that. That's right. Well, that was good. That was a good one. It does kind of make you think about how all that stuff's interconnected. So, well done, sir.
Well, something different.
Yeah. Well, I hope everybody liked our look at Bang Bang Baby. Please join us next week as we pick another show out of the streaming universe to review for you. Until then, I am Jim.
And I am Steve. Thank you.
Jim and Steve. Let's give it up to Jim and Steve. Burn it out, Jim and Steve. Watch a show you've never seen.